Today, the United States called for a new ceasefire in the northwestern Syrian province of Idlib, the last refuge of rebels fighting the Syrian regime. Idlib is also filled with extremists and millions of civilians, and where the regime recently launched a final assault. As Nick Schifrin reports, humanitarian groups fear that the fighting could set off the worst crisis of that eight-year-old war, and a warning. Some of the images in this story are disturbing.
In Idlib's Valley of the Shadow of Death, there is no walking to safety, only running and praying that on this day, the bomb misses its target. But for so many, they fear this is the end, the slow and brutal end of the last major rebel-held province, where streets that used to be markets are bombed into mangled messes and funeral pyres, where what looks like snow is actually a bomb's aftermath, and a baby's future seems as black as night. Idlib is in Syria's northwest, controlled by rebels and extremists in green, the final refuge of Syrians opposed to their government, which is in red. It is a few hundred miles from U.S. and Kurdish-controlled areas in yellow. 9 months ago, with Presidents Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Vladimir Putin looking on, Turkey and Russia signed a deal that was supposed to make Idlib a demilitarized buffer zone. But Turkey has failed to deliver on promises to eliminate radicals and open up highways. And so for the last 3 weeks, Syrian forces have waged a campaign that is cornering their enemies. Syrian ground troops fire tanks and have advanced into more than 10 villages formerly controlled by rebels. Death rains from the sky. As Russian jets provide top cover, Syrian helicopters drop barrel bombs. They seem to fall slowly, but they're full of explosives and shrapnel designed to maximize destruction. Syria says it's targeting terrorists. Idlib is a nest of extremists. The U.S. once called it the world's largest al-Qaeda safe haven. But the U.N. also describes it as the world's largest refugee camp, home to millions of civilians. Just this month, nearly 200,000 have fled their homes. They know they have to leave, but they have nowhere to go.
As a human, as a man living here with my family, of course, we are living in difficult and hard circumstances with no way out.
Hussam al-Hussein is an English teacher in Al-Hadfa, Idlib. He works here, a women's center. Through 8 years of war, it has stayed open. But they say what they're facing today is more dire than it's been in years.
Bombardments compared with the last times, now in the last few weeks, it was very, very heavy, including weather airstrikes, warplanes, and bombardments, and rockets.
At an affiliated orphanage called the Wisdom House, young Syrians say the only person who can save them is President Trump.
We are pleading with Mr. Trump, please stop the criminals from bombing our villages and to protect the Syrian people, the defenseless civilians.
We are pleading with Mr. Trump to stop the massacres in our village and protect the civilians, children, women, and elderly, and to stop the spilling of blood.
The Orphanage and Women's Center, funded by Americans in Arkansas, including from Conway's St. Peter's Episcopal Church, led by the Reverend Greg Warren. This week, he and dozens of interfaith leaders sent a letter to President Trump, also appealing to save Idlib and stop the Russians and Syrians.
This is a never again moment for us. We're asking him to draw a red line with those forces, those countering forces, to not let this happen and to stop what could potentially be one of the worst humanitarian crises that we've seen.
The appeal also appeared in a congressional letter asking President Trump to demonstrate American leadership in Syria. It was signed by 400 senators and congresspeople, including top House Foreign Affairs Committee Democrat Elliot Engel.
We need a serious policy that pushes for a stop to the violence and a start to a political resolution.
In the past, President Trump has taken credit for preventing an Idlib onslaught.
But if you look at Idlib province in Syria, I stopped the slaughter of perhaps 3 million people. Nobody talk about that. They don't talk about that.
Today in the House, the State Department's top Syria official called out Syrian and Russian actions in Idlib, including a possible chemical attack.
We are mobilizing the international community. We are working closely with them, and they're working closely with us to put pressure on Russia.
And James Jeffrey defended the administration's strategy, saying the Idlib fighting was at least contained.
I will say, in defense of what we're doing, that at one point several years ago, in fact, pretty close to the present, you had Idlibs happening all over Syria. Right now, we have it happening in less than 74 square kilometers. That is, unfortunately, by the miserable standards of this conflict, progress, sir.
But that's only true because all the other rebel strongholds have been defeated. And unless the attacks stop, the people of Idlib are facing more days like today. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.